Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. You don't just sit down and think, I can't believe I don't know what will happen 5 years from now. No. Wrong thinking. You say what you want. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So faith starts with talking. If you are serious, you will say something. And when you talk, you remain there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's strength. That is true strength. Strength is not muscles. Strength is refusing to be moved when everything contrary to what you have said is happening. That's strength. That's faith. So don't be surprised. You know, there are people who think, once I say it, it must happen that way. At times it does. Other times, not so. In fact, it is that thing you said, the opposite, that is what will happen. Has it happened to you before?
Yes, Pastor.
No, you're coming to church. You see the word I say in the name of Jesus, Son of God, no rain. Who are you commanding? The angels in charge of rain. So it comes down a bit. Say, huh? And you come out. All right. Don't command the rain. Praise the Lord. Because there are farmers who need the rain. All right? Just plan ahead. Praise the Lord. So there are times you say something and the opposite happens. If your faith is strong, you will not move. Are you in this place? Someone says he wants to fight in a wrestling match. He enters the ring and he's surprised that they punched him. Is that a serious person? Of course not. He enters the ring. If they punch him and he falls, his strength was small. When he enters the ring, if they punch him and he's standing, and they punch him and he's still standing, that's a strong man. When you speak the word of God, it's like entering that ring. Challenges will come. Don't be surprised. You're not a serious person. Challenges will come. Don't let them push you down. The Bible says, keep standing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't change your confession. So that's faith. Faith starts with talking. You must say something. If you are serious, if you are serious, you're using your faith for a good result. You're serious using your faith for a car, for a house. You must say something. And then when you say it, you remain there. Don't act surprised. Say, in the name of Jesus, I'm working in Mobile. Mobile closes in Nigeria. Keep talking. There's still Mobile in the U.S. Don't change it. The Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. What that means is, if you were saying Mobile, and Mobile moves out of Nigeria, and you say, oh, Mobile has moved. Okay, total. You're double-minded. You're unstable. You'll not get anyone. That's what the Bible says. So, you're using your faith, you talk. What have you said? Stay there and see it come to pass. I'm thinking of Jesus in John 11. Are you in this place? Just follow me. You love this. You know, Jesus had different ways of ministering to the sick. One unique way was that he didn't go where the sick was. He just spoke. So the Bible tells us in John 4, are you listening to me?
Yes,
a noble man came to meet him that his son was sick with a fever, ready to die. And Jesus said, if you don't see miracles, you don't believe. He said, go your way, your son, leave it. He didn't go to his house. Where he was, he said the boy was alive. As the man was going, he found out the boy was alive. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. Then you had the centurion's servant. The centurion came to meet him and said, my servant is healed. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. That's in Matthew 8. And the centurion said, no, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Just speak the word. My servant will be healed. So Jesus was so impressed and said, according to your faith. So the man went, servant was healed. He didn't have to go to meet the servants. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
He didn't have to go and meet them. All right. Another story, Mark 7. You have this Syrophoenician woman. Her daughter was possessed and oppressed by a demon. And she came to meet Jesus and worshipped him and expressed her faith. And Jesus said, oh woman, God is your faith. According to your faith, be done unto you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
By the time she got home, the demon had left her daughter. My point is, Jesus ministered that way. Do you understand?
Yes,
at times he just spoke. And the person who was sick over there became healed. And so if you came to meet Jesus and you had a problem, and he doesn't follow you, he said, don't worry, it is fine. You go back home with confidence. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Please pay attention to me. You go back home with what?
Confidence.
He doesn't need to show up. All right?
Yes,
he can just talk and the demon will check out. He can just talk and the person will be healed. So think about it. In John 11, some people came to meet him and said, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus told them, this sickness is not unto death. What do you think? They would have left thinking, he said he's not going to die. So they go with happiness. Why? Because they remember all the other stories. That when Jesus said, the person's not going to die, the person's not going to die. So they go back. Guess what? Lazarus died. Jesus found out. He didn't say, oh God. See embarrassment. I can't show my face there again. Please, no. If Martha and Mary called, tell them I've traveled. That's not what he did. Because you see, his faith was strong. He said the man would not die. The very opposite thing happened. He died. He didn't ask, but I said, you know, that is the response of most people, and it is wrong. It is wrong. You can say, I said they would not sack me. They're second order that they would not sack me, and they gave me a letter. The first response, but God, I said, wrong response. The man died, it's true. Jesus said it was the resurrection and the life. He could do something about it. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He could change the situation. That is the God that tells you to have faith in him. So when you have spoken, even if the very opposite thing happens, have faith in the God that is greater than all. He can change anything. That is faith. Until you win, you don't stop speaking. You don't stop believing. Someone says, I was using my faith for something, didn't work. That point where you said it didn't work, that's where it stopped. You should have continued. Because then it will work. You know the story. He went to Bethany and raised Lazarus from the dead. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So if you're a strong man or a strong woman, when you speak, you remain there. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You remain there. No surgery. You stand there. No matter the convincing, you remain there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, when I was younger, my mom had two methods. Over time, I found out there were two methods to get me to do something. One was repeated twice. I'm going to tell you. So maybe I'm fasting, all right, because that's it. So the first method is, she comes and she rebukes me. She said, come on, go and eat. And I say, I'm fasting. She said, every time fast, every time fast, every time fast. Quiet. Then she leaves me alone. The second method, she comes and says, you see every time? Go and eat, go and eat. You know, that one is more convincing, more soothing. And you know what? I fell for it. Many times until I became wise. So when I didn't fall for that one, then the first one is repeated. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this to say, at times you're using your faith, all right? And the challenges seem tough. So let's say an example. You want to work in Mobile, and they said they are not employing anymore. That's a tough challenge. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Great. And you're using your faith. That's the first option. The second one, you say you want to work in Mobile, then you get an offer letter from Shell.
And some people try to be smart. Let me take Shell first. Then Mobile is still coming. I'm still using my faith for Mobile. No.
Let me tell you something. Strong man, strong woman, stand where you are. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's if you're serious. If you're not serious, you can take the one from here. Praise the Lord. All right. So all of that about faith. But let's get into today's message. Are you paying attention to me?
Yes,
I want to show you something Jesus said. Go to John 8 quickly because time is quite far spent. John 8 verse 28. John 8 verse 28. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'll be fast. So just follow me. Listen to Jesus. This is Jesus talking. Are you looking at it?
Yes.
No, look at the screen with me, you know, so that we can be in the same place. Okay. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now, that's a weird way of talking. It says that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I expect him to say I do these things. But he says, I speak these things. You wonder, doesn't he know how to communicate? Go to verse 38. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Again, he's mixing up speaking and doing. He should have said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you speak that which you have seen with your Father. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Or he says, I do that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that. You see, it should be complete and correct and connected. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
But here he's saying, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen your Father. He's mixing them up. Go to John 14, verse 10. He's still talking. He says, believest thou not that I am in my Father? Or I am in the Father? And the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Again, not very good grammar. Of course, he didn't speak English then. But his communication is not accurate. He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Then he should have said, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he's the one talking. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
But here, he's linking his speaking with doing. He said, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He begins to think, is he in another universe? Doesn't he know how to talk? Well, he said something I just want to show you. Go to John 8 again. John 8, verse 23. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. You have to love Jesus. He looked at them, Jews, and said, you're from beneath. He said, I am from above. He says, you are of this world. He said, I am not of this world. No wonder he spoke differently. He had a different style of communicating. He had different insight. He said, I'm not of this world. I am from above. So to him, speaking was doing. Are you in this place?
Yes,
to him, his words did something. Not his hands, his words. His words did something. So if he wanted to do anything, he'll talk. That was how he taught. And you know what? That is how he lived his life on the earth. In Luke 6, are you paying attention
yes,
to me?
Pastor.
In Luke 6, a man with a withered hand came to the synagogue. And then he asked them, is it right to save life or to destroy? My point is, he knew he was going to heal that man. When he was done asking them the question, you would expect him, the man had a withered hand. So you expect him to go and drag the hand out. That's not what he did. He knew he was going to heal that man, and then he told the man, stretch forth your hand. He spoke. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored whole like the other. He really believed if he wanted to do anything, he had to say it. Are you in this place?
Yes,
you had a leper who came to meet him and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Touched him and said, I will be thou clean. And that skin disease cleared away. Then he had 10 other lepers in Luke 17 who shouted from afar, said, Son of David, have mercy on us. And he said, go and show yourself to the priest. That is all he said. And while they were going, all of them came back or all of them were healed. His words did it. Are you in this place?
Yes,
his words. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Then in John 5, this is a man with a spirit of infirmity, lying down for 38 years. And asked him, would you be made whole? The man talks and talks and talks. And Jesus said, all right, rise up, get up and go. And that man, without the aid of anybody, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Got up. Bible says he was made whole. He was made whole. How was he made whole? When Jesus talked, he got up and he started going. Jesus really believed when he talked, he was doing something. He really believed it. You had another man, paralyzed. He was brought in by his friends, four of them, in Luke 5. And the Bible says that he looked at the man and said, your sins are forgiven you. Then he said, arise, take up your bed and go home. His words to him were like an instrument. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He thought his words did something. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So words, let's look at it. Go to John 6, verse 63. John 6, verse 63. He says, this is Jesus talking. That's why Jesus couldn't talk anyhow. When he saw the word of God, he didn't talk anyhow. He didn't just joke. Because if he really believed his words did something, then he can't just talk anyhow. The moment he says you're a fool, boy, you become a fool. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
No. I always ask, what prayer sessions did Peter need to walk on water? None. What Bible study sessions did Peter need to walk on water? None. All he needed was for Jesus to say something. Jesus' words did the miracle. And all Jesus said was what? Come. What a word. What a word. You know, that was the expression of the Jews in the synagogue in Luke 4. There was a man possessed with a demon. And Jesus said, shut up, come out of him. And the man rolled on the floor. And the Jews said, what a word is this? They were smart. They knew what made that demon come out was his word. So what a word is this? A word that does something. Look at it. He says, it is the spirit that quickens. He says, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? He says his words are spirits. They are life. He says his words quicken, meaning the words do something. His words vitalize. That's what he's saying. When he talks, that word is a spirit that goes and does what he needs to do. If he tells a lame man begin to walk, that word, are you in this place?
Yes,
enters the lame man and fixes his leg or his brain. That's what he's saying here. He says, it's the spirit that quickens. It's the spirit that gives life. So the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So once I speak, it enters a man and begins to work. His words will jerk you back into life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's like that man who has a heart attack and faints or dies. And you see the doctors, they come with that stuff. You know, they rub and they jerk him back to life. Are you in this place? All right, he's dead. He has no pulse, so they jerk him. Jesus says his words have that jerking force. That if a man dies, he would speak, and the word will enter him and bring him back to life. Let me show you a thought. It's a line of thought. Go to John 7, verse 38. Just pay attention to this line of thought. John 7, verse 38. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If something was not right, he said there's something he can release. If something was not right in a man's body, Jesus can release something and it will enter his body and give life to everything. The word is active. It's like a tablet. Do you understand? When you take a tablet, it dissolves. it begins to work. He says that's how his words are. Once he speaks, it enters you and begins to work. Begins to work. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? Someone says, what is the limitation of that word? Nothing. He says, without him was not anything made that was made. Meaning that when the word of God enters you, if there is no kidney there, it will create a new one.
Yes.
That's how the word functions. And the word of God is intelligent. Yes. Meaning he knows what to repair. He knows what to advance. He knows what to remove.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look at this thought. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow. Beautiful. Do you believe in him?
Yes.
This should be your experience. So what are these rivers? Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So he's saying, the one who believes in me would have the Spirit gushing out of him. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Go to John 4. John 4, verse 14. Oh, you love this. John 4, verse 14. It says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. So what's water? The Spirit. Right?
Yes,
are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. That's what I want you to see. Springing up. Have you seen a spring before?
Yes, Pastor.
Why is a spring not a river? The river flows. The spring gushes up. Then he told us in 6 verse 63 that the words that he spoke, they are spirit and they're life. So here he's telling you how the word functions. What will you believe? When he says he that believed in me, he's talking about believing his words. He's saying when he speaks words and you believe, it becomes a well of water in you, jerking you into everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That means the word of God enters you and begins to jerk you. All the things that were dead in your body begins to give life. That's what he's saying here. So, if there was one thing Jesus was sure of, it was that his words were active. His words were alive. They were real beings. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
He was so sure. It is that confidence with which he would tell a blind man, receive your sight. And he knew the man would begin to see. Because he knew the words that he spoke.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Those are the words. Remember, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. All right? Then it says, without him was not anything made that was made. Meaning, eyeballs, the nerves connecting the eyes to the brain, every other system in the body was made by the word. So Jesus knew if someone was blind, he could release that same word that made everything. It would enter that man and jerk him into life. It would give life to that which is dead. That was his confidence. So he told the woman, the Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7, he said, the demon is gone out of your daughter. Those words. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What that meant was, when he spoke the word, that spirit went to where the girl was and flung the demon out of her. And by the time the woman got there, the girl was okay. She was even sleeping. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus took his words seriously. He didn't just talk anyhow. He took his words seriously. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Bear that in mind. Then let's listen to something he said. Go to John 5. So what's our life? Are you in this place?
Yes,
words create. Meaning they create circumstances. If I say I'm favored everywhere I go. All right? That means that word begins to create the circumstances to ensure that I'm favored.
Yes.
Everywhere I go. So maybe I'm going to an office and there's someone there that might not favor me. Before I get there, the word goes ahead. Remember something. Jesus' birth was spoken about. John the Baptist's birth was spoken about a long time ago. But you know what? His mom still had to be born. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
His father, Joseph, a good man, had to be betrothed to her. All of this had to happen before he was born. Who was setting the circumstance? The Word of God. So the Word of God can create circumstances and events akin to what it is like. Pay attention to me. If I wanted to make a bespoke suit, all right, that's a suit that they make from scratch just for you. I have to measure you up, all right?
Yes, Pastor.
And ensure that everything that I need for the suit is set with you. Then I make the suit, all right?
Yes, Pastor.
When you speak the word, it is the type of word you speak. So if I say, please don't lose me. If I say red, that is the word I spoke, red, not blue. So that word will begin to create circumstances that will fit it. It's not great if circumstance that will fit blue because I didn't say blue. It will create circumstances, events, push people to ensure that the red that I spoke will come to fruition. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bear that in mind. Go to John 5. Let's start from verse 19. Now, Jesus had worked a miracle. The man who could not move for 38 years. He made him whole. So the Jews were upset, all right, because he healed on the Sabbath day. And then Jesus said, my father is working, so I'm working. So they got angry again. I wanted to kill him because he said God was his father. So look at verse 19. Let's be fast. Are you paying attention to this? Say, I'm full of glory.
I'm full of glory.
All right. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son. Likewise, verse 20. She's saying, I can't do anything of myself. I'm only doing what I see my father do. Verse 20. For the Father loved his Son and showed him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. If you believe that his words were alive, then this is such a powerful statement. He said, is this what is getting you? He said, my father will show me greater things. And you'll be surprised. Verse 21. For as a father, listen, remember he said words do. He believes it. He just made a man who was alive but was sick. He made him well. So he's telling them, you're going to see greater things. And begins to tell them the quality of things that they would see. He says, for as a father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So first, he's telling you the way God raises the dead and gives them life. That's how I can give life to whoever I want. So if someone is sick, I can give him life. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So here, it's not very clear what he's saying. Go to verse 25. He has not raised anybody from the dead yet. But look at verse 25. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. He said, the time is coming, it's even now. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But there was no dead person there. But the word that he spoke created the circumstance. All of a sudden, we go to Luke 7. A man is dead. His mom is a widow. They're going to bury her. And Jesus sees them coming. And look at what he does. Go to Luke 7. Verse 11, quickly. Luke 7, verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went to a city called Nain. Are you with me?
Yes, Pastor.
And many of the disciples went with him, and much people. Verse 12. Now when he came now to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not, meaning don't cry. And he came and touched the bear, and they that bare him stood still. And he said to the dead man, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Verse 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. I mean, he didn't do that thing that they punched on the heart. The man had died. They were going to bury him. But he had said earlier, he said, the time is coming. It's even now that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Finally, there is a dead man. He speaks. A dead man cannot hear. Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Can a dead man hear? If you can hear, he's not dead. No, imagine someone died here. And they say, fire, fire. Then he gets up and starts running. He's not dead. But Jesus had spoken. And the world had to create the circumstance. So he finally meets a dead man and he talks to him. The man is dead. He didn't lay his hand on him and say, life come to him. No. Because what he said was, the dead will hear my voice and they will leave. So he talks to the man. He said, young man, I saw the man is alive. Are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
He said, young man, I say unto you, get up. And the man sat up. Oh boy. We don't even know what killed him. He could have been organ failure. And he had been dead for a while. But he says, the words are what? Spirits, and they are what?
Life.
He says his word quickens. So then he said, young man, get up. That word, get up. Enter into the young man and get him back to life. More efficient than that stuff they do. What is it called? Defibrillator. Defibrillator. I've learned something today. But it's very long. So I'll just continue my... Praise the Lord. He says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. But he didn't just start. You know, they saw it and they were excited. But he had said it before. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No, three of you enter a place and it is you they call. And they said, is it the way you dress? No, you had said it before. Go to Mark. Or go to Luke 8. Next chapter. Luke 8. Verse 51. You know the story. Jairus came to call Jesus and said, my daughter is about to die. Please come and help me. And look at Jesus. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the baby. Verse 32. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. Just like he told the woman, right? When Jesus said, don't cry, you can relax. There's a plan. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. You see, it has started. Are you noticing?
Yes.
It has started. So at this junction, that girl begins to sleep. If she was dead, she begins to sleep. Do you get it?
Yes.
Verse 53. Imagine he entered and said, the case is very bad. Then the case will get worse. 53. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Meaning they would have checked everything. Someone would have checked her pulse. Someone would have kept their ear on her chest. Is it beating? It's not beating. Someone have. No, they would not have slapped her. But they were sure she was dead. So he said, she is not dead, but sleeping. You see, because he said, they are from beneath. Meaning they understood things in a human way. They thought he was just talking. But he was not just talking. He was creating circumstances. So that was a switch. But they thought he was just telling us words. Hey, he doesn't know anything. So they laughed him to scorn. You know, at times you're in your faith and people will mock you. Relax. They did it to Jesus.
Yes.
They laughed him. You know what laughing to scorn means? He means laugh. Like when you decide to kill him. Is it that bad? But look at what he did. He put them all out. All of them faithless. And took her by the hand and called, saying what? Maid. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. He said, the time is coming that the dead who hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This girl was dead. All he said was, maid, get up. And she got up. Go to John 11. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm God's choice.
Chosen generation. John 11. Just put it at John 11. You know the story. It's of Lazarus. He had died 4 days. They had buried him. Martha rightly said he should be smelling. All right? So Jesus does something. Go to verse 43. You need to see this. This is so beautiful. So he had rebuked Martha because Jesus had told them, Are you in this place?
Yes,
please pay attention to me. Jesus said, roll the stone away. But Martha, concerned about her perfume, and now she's not. She ran and said, no. By this time, she'll be smiling. He has been dead 4 days. Imagine, Jesus is about to work a miracle. And this auntie runs and stops him. And he said, hey, did I not tell you if you believe you see the glory of God? Roll the stone. Verse 43. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. That was his strategy going there. If they had asked Jesus on the road, he said, Lazarus is dead, what will you do? He said, I'll talk. That was his strategy. Because he had said, the dead will hear his voice. So his strategy was, my voice must be heard. So they had asked him, how would you raise my voice? I'll talk. He said, you'll talk. I'll talk. Yeah, he's talking. He cried, that means he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. This man was dead. But he heard his voice. And he got up. Go to verse 44. You need to see this. And he that was dead, pay attention to this, came forth, bound hand and foot. How did he walk? His foot was tied. And his hand was tied. How did it work out? He says the words are spirit and they are life. Powerful enough to eject him from the dead and to move him towards Jesus. Because Jesus said, come forth. Look at that. He says, I want you to see this. His hand was tied. His foot was tied. His face was covered with a napkin. How did he see? It was when he came that Jesus said, lose that man. Meaning, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
The man came. He had to come. While the word said comfort, he had to go. The force and power of the word. Oh, praise the Lord. There is no impossible situation. I mean, if someone tries to stop you, leave physical might alone. It's time to use the word. Because it's the word that will move something, even though it is tied. Are you seeing that? It will move something, even though the face is covered. That is the power of the word. I'm thinking about the word himself. How the chief priests and Pharisees had gone to meet Pilate in Matthew 27. So remember that the deceiver said, after this, I'll rise. Okay, guard the place. Seal it. They sealed it. They guarded it. But he said, after 3 days, I would rise. And the word is a quickening spirit. Once the word, that was his assurance. Once the word has been spoken, it doesn't matter who tries to stop it. It doesn't matter the physical might, the government, because that was a government policy. Seal the tomb. It doesn't matter the government policy. When it is that 3 days, that stone will have to be rolled away.
Yes.
Either someone will come and roll it, or if there's nobody willing, there are angels of God. They can roll it away. The power of the word. Someone says, we have spoken, but the situation is very difficult. I'm telling you, this man that was dead, everything was tied. Everything. His hand. Do you know how they tie dead bodies?
Yes.
Have you seen mummies before?
Yes.
You can't move. It was the word that moved him. Because Jesus did not say, Lazarus, I say unto you, arise. He would have risen and sat down there. That's what he said. When he told the young man, I say unto you, arise, the man got up, sat down, began to talk. It was Jesus who took him to his mom. Are you in this place? When he told the girl, maid, arise, she got up. Do you understand? Did he move? But for Lazarus, the instruction was different. The word was different. And that's why I said, when you say something, the word creates circumstances for that thing that you have said. If you have said, Lazarus, arise, or Lazarus, become well. He would have been fine there. They would have to enter the tomb. But remember, Martha had complained. So then he said, Lazarus! Meaning you are the one coming to meet us. We are not going to meet you. So when the man got up, that's what he had to comfort. Even though he was tied. Even though his leg was tied. He couldn't see. The word had to move him forth. Everything I need in this life is gravitating towards me. I mean, you have to say it. You have to say it. It doesn't matter who is holding it. I said it is coming towards me. my future. There is no struggling there.
Praise the Lord.
Nothing can stop the world. Nothing. I mean, this should be enough proof. Nothing can stop the word. Once the word has been spoken, it doesn't matter what is holding it. The Bible says the word of God cannot be bound. It doesn't matter what is holding it. It doesn't matter who is doing strong head. Are you in this place? It doesn't matter who is signing documents. Let them sign their documents. I have spoken the word. And that word will bring to me what I said. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It will become what I said. Let's look at another one that is very nice. Then we'll close. Go to John 6, verse 35.
You're somewhere.
All right? In traffic, they say a fuel tanker is burning and is consuming cars. Someone says, not me. All right. Maybe not you. But what if? Maybe you didn't speak the word before you went out. Are you in this place?
Yes.
That is the time to speak the word. That's the time to speak the word. Say, in the name of Jesus, I'm moving in security. I'm moving in safety. Your response should be the word of God first. Before any other thing. The word of God first. You know what? You train yourself. You know, there's something we learned in devotional. I like it. In the time of peace, train yourself for war. Nobody learns to fight in the time of war. Don't mind Ukrainians. In the time of peace, you train yourself for war. So your training is complete, accurate. When there are no challenges, train yourself to respond to the word of God. Like in church, if we say glory, respond. Why? Because you're training yourself when the challenge comes to respond to the word of God. That's what you do. You don't wait until there's challenge and say, I'm using my faith. In the name of Jesus, I shall not die. I shall not die. I shall not die. No, in the time of peace, while you're strong inside, continue in health and vitality. And that word that you have spoken begins to create a circumstance. It doesn't matter what the devil throws, you continue in health and vitality. You're a soldier. That's what the Bible says. So now that you have peace, train yourself. Because war is coming. The Bible says it's an evil day. Train yourself. So you're in the bus. The driver is drunk. Instead of you to use the word of God and secure yourself everywhere, they say to the driver, how can you drink early in the morning? How can you drink? You want to kill all of us? You have failed that training. No need to. Don't mind that driver. Leave him alone. Say, no, Joe, this bus is secured. You see, you're training yourself that your immediate response must be the word of God. Your immediate response. Your immediate response. You're going somewhere, you hit your leg. It's healed. You see, your immediate response. You're training yourself. You know, he just said, who kept this chair here now? You want to break our legs? Ah! In a time of peace, you train yourself for war. Look at this. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Awesome. He says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We learned that very well. January. But here he's saying, whoever comes to me will never hunger. He will never thirst. Meaning that he will live with satisfaction. All he needs to do is to come to me. It doesn't matter who he is. It doesn't matter the problem. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He would live with satisfaction. If it's health he wants, he will get it. If it's wisdom he wants, he will get it. All he needs to do is to come to me. So most people that came to Jesus, he was aware they were coming to him. Until one woman showed up. And he was not aware. Jairus had called him and told him that his daughter is about to die, so Jesus was going. But he had said, whoever comes to me shall never hunger and shall never thirst. As he's walking, he feels something. He said, who touched me? That means he didn't know the woman was coming. He said, who touched me? They said, Master, the multitude is stronger. I said, well, they said, no, somebody has touched me. If I perceive power has gone out of me. Then the woman comes and confesses and says, please, I'm the one. I touched you and now I'm made whole. Listen to this.
The word he spoke concerning himself worked even when he was not aware. Because the word creates circumstances. He didn't know the woman was coming, but she came to him and she left what? Satisfied.
What a word. What a word. Can you say this about yourself? I have solutions. And you really believe it. I have solutions.
I have solutions.
It doesn't matter the problem. Are you in this place? I mean, I might not even know I am solving it, but I'm solving it. I have solutions. Think about this. He wasn't aware. That's what he meant. Go to Luke 8. Let me just show you because I want you to see it. Luke 8, verse 43. Luke 8, verse 43. You need to see it. Are you in this place? We have closed. Almost ending. It says, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So this situation was not child's play. She had spent everything she had. This was serious. This woman was really hungry. Hungry for health. Verse 44. Came behind him. Behind him. He didn't know. There were many people going. So she just smoked behind him. And thought, not even him. Meaning that he didn't feel anything. It was just this. When he spoke that word, everything understood it. Everything understood it. She just touched the border of his garment. Touched, not slapped. There are people that will slap. She just touched. And immediately, he had said, whosoever cometh to me shall never hunger and shall never thirst. This woman touches his cloth immediately. Her issue of blood was stanched, stopped. What happened? These people following him saw that. They didn't know he had said it before. Verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all the nine, I told you, that's why Jairus' daughter died. Because there were many, meaning they asked everybody one by one, are you the one?
Looks like you.
Are you the one? No. Listen, it's common. At times you give a word of knowledge here. You say there's someone here. The person there is looking at you like this. You say, until you threaten. If you don't come out, the miracle might not stay. Then you see someone coming out.
Yeah, all of them denied. So Peter and Gather with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee. That means people are guarding you and praise thee. Why are you saying who touched me? Verse 46. He refused to agree. 46. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me. There is somebody here. You see that thing we normally say. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Verse 47. When the woman saw, meaning they were coming close. My point is, it didn't just happen there. He had said it earlier. That whosoever cometh to me shall never hunger and shall never thirst. Meaning, no matter their problem, no matter their situation, when they come to me, it will be solved. Whether I am aware or I am unaware, as long as they come to me, they will get their answers. I say, I provide solutions. I am the light of the world. In the midst of darkness, I shine. I would always shine. You see, we don't curse the darkness, we just shine. Once we shine, the darkness disappears. Now, something I want to notice, and I've closed. You notice that Jesus confessed a lot. He spoke a lot about himself. The book of John is full of it. Did you notice that?
Yes,
I'm the bread of life. What a confession. Just like we say, I have the life of God in me. It says, the dead shall hear my voice and they will live. Just like we say, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. You see, he was teaching us how to live the divine life.
Yes.
If you have the divine life and you're not talking, you have not started. You have not started. You see, you have to speak your experience into being. I told you in Genesis 1, God saw the earth without form and void. He didn't say, Angel Michael, what happened here? This is very bad. He didn't just think about it. He spoke what he wanted in order. He said, let there be light. And there was light. So in your life, so now look at Jesus, his own world. You see, God made the whole world. So he said, let there be light, and there was light in the whole world. When Jesus came, he had his own world. So he had to plan how he would function in that world. He said, the dead will hear my voice and they will live. That means in his world, anywhere he goes, where there's a dead person, there will be life. In his own world, he said, I am the bread of life. Whosoever cometh to me shall never hunger and shall never thirst. Meaning that in that world, anywhere he went to, he had solutions. He had answers. Jesus lives in you and is in heaven. You have your own world. What are you saying in your own world? Or are you letting others talk for you? There are people that in their own world, they have no control. Anything just happens. Everything is by chance. But not me. Not me. I am the light of the world. And I am shining. And I am shining. In any dark place, I shine. I'm never confused. I know what to do. I know who to meet. I know where to go. And everywhere I go, goodness and mercy is chasing after me. My name is synonymous with favor. Anywhere my name is mentioned, there is blessing there. There is favor there. Praise the Lord. Glory. Create your own world. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Create the circumstances you want to see.
Yes.
And remain there.
Yes.
Don't move. Say, everywhere I am the security there.
Yes.
Say, I'm in charge.
I'm in charge.
No. Some people didn't say it like. Say,
I'm in charge.
You know, times I'm driving on that bridge, and maybe something is happening. Then I think, you know what? The last man guy can't be in charge. He's not spiritual. He doesn't know what's happening. I am in charge. And because I am in charge, no accidents here. That's how you talk. That's how you talk. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Everything I touch,
everything
is blessed.
Yes.
Everywhere I go,
everywhere
there is a blessing.
Yes.
Say, I live in health
continuously.
Say, I function with vitality. Say, look at me. I am the glory of God. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Hallelujah!
See, my experience is joy.
Always.
Always.
Everywhere I go.
Joy. Joy.
Joy.
Woo! See, I experience peace. Peace in my body. Peace in my home. Peace in my family. Peace in my going out. Peace in my coming in. Peace everywhere. Say, I'm prosperous. Favor is looking out for me. Do you get that? Favor is looking out for me. I mean, create that circumstance. Create that circumstance. Create that circumstance. Let's take it higher. You see, what Jesus said is important even today. Because people die. And then not just people, organs die. The organ in a man's body can begin to stop functioning. Are you in this place? And then it could be you. Maybe your leg no longer functioning. But before you ever experience that, you have to release the word. You say, the dead hear my voice. And they leave. Doesn't matter what God is dead. It could be your phone battery. It could be your phone. It could be your car. The dead hear my voice. And they jerk back to life. It could be your relative who is about to have heart failure. But you have spoken the word. The dead hear my voice and they leave. Jesus sent disciples and he said, raise the dead. That's what he told them. He said, raise the dead. Anything dead in your family, maybe the joy is dead. Maybe the peace is dead. Maybe the resources, they are dead. You declare the dead hear my voice and they leave. Life has come to my family. Joy has come to my family. Health has come to my body. Prosperity. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen to this. There are some families, there is no joy. They are just existing. Like oil and water. There is no joy. If you have a meeting, everywhere seems dead. Everybody is quiet. But that has stopped today. Because the dead hear your voice. And they leave. Joy. Fellowship. Communion. Has returned to that house. Communion. There's some families, they never get enough. Nobody has ever gotten 1 million in that house. It's like the money is dead. But prosperity is yours. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Amen. Amen. Say protocols are broken. For my sake. Say structures are rearranged to favor me. And recognize that you're saying that you are creating circumstances. Speak in other tongues. Say my steps. Say my steps. I honor by the Lord. While every other person might go 1, 2, 3. For me, it is 100-fold. So I go 1, 100, 10,000, 100 million. Because your steps are honored. So while they are promoting people, you have to stay 2 years for level 1, 5 years for level 2. Create that circumstance. For you, 1 year, level 5. Jesus talked about his Father. He said, Father, all things are possible with you. Think about that. Then he said, oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. So he knew with God, all things are possible. The only limitation is faith. What can you say and believe? So when we say, the dead hear my voice and they live, it is possible. Because you are with God, he lives in you.
He also said that with God, all things are possible. So while it is true that with our words we can move mountains, right now we are celebrating God. We are celebrating our Father that can do anything. Speak in other tongues.